You know, sometimes preparing for Christmas gets kind of hectic, doesn't it? If y'all, a friend of mine from high school, probably my best friend in high school, texted me this morning, goes, y'all having a service? I went, yeah, 10 o'clock. And this was like at 9:20. So it's like, yeah, Tim, I got to go. You know, that kind of thing. He's like, yeah, we're having a service today too. I said, well, we had our candles and carols and communion service last night. We had a good crowd, you know, and got to celebrate Christmas Eve together. Said, we're having a service this morning. Then we're going to, of course, have the dinner for several people, close to 40, 50 people going to be here this afternoon. So we're excited about that. We're going to feed them and just kind of hang out with them and love on them and do some Christmas stuff. I said, and then we got to be back at my house by 6 o'clock because that's when my mom throws a big party. And then I forgot. It's like, oh, yeah, she's living with us now. So it's like, oh, man, the party's at our house. So at least I don't have to go anywhere, but our house is like a trailer. You know, it used to be big when the kids were small, but the bigger now that the kids are, it's like we've run out of room. Isn't it amazing how that happens? So then we got that tonight, and then the grandkids are going to be staying with us, both grand boys. And they're all excited, you know, and I said, and then we got tickets to some Harry Potter experience coming up next week or something. And I said, so, man, I'm putting on my skates, Tim, and I am just going for, you know, it's like crazy and hectic. And so that's the way our Christmas season goes a lot of times. We're racing around getting gifts. We're running around from one program to the next. We're going to see lights. Margie and I got to, you know, our son Philip, first time Philip hasn't been home for Christmas. He's gone to Oregon to see his girlfriend. So he's staying in Oregon through Christmas. So it's just me, Margie, and Mom. And so it's like, Mom, you want to go out and see lights? And she's sitting under a blanket going, no, I'm not going anywhere. So Margie and I, we'll go out, and we went and saw some lights. And anyway, it's tough to miss Christmas if you're an American today, right? I mean, starting in September in Home Depot, you start to see Christmas lights starting to come around. In America, it's just hard to miss Christmas. We get caught up in all of the festivities and the parties and the lights and the glitter and all of the stuff. And there are many clues that the advertisers will give us that you have to be prepared, right? Be ready. Christmas is coming. What do we have? We have those Advent calendars. You count it down. Christmas is coming. You better be ready. And we run at the last minute to try to get something. And we've been reminded all the time. So we're prepared for the Christmas season. We're prepared for Christmas Eve. We're prepared for our grandkids and our kids and our families, you know, with food and presents and gifts and good times and stuff. But who do you think was prepared for that very first Christmas? Think about it. I mean, there were signs. There were prophecies about the coming Messiah. And yet on the eve of that very first night, business pretty much went along as usual. People were coming home from work. They were cleaning up for dinner. Children were playing in the dusty streets until it was time for bed. Spouses rolled over, gave goodnight kisses to each other. They had to be there for this pesky tax that was kind of thrown them at the last minute, this crazy census that they had to go and be registered. And their minds were preoccupied with, like, honey, did you make reservations? Or are we just going to try to, you know, just be on our own? The problem was there was a Jewish man and a young Jewish woman, very pregnant, riding on a donkey. Joseph, did you make reservations? Mary, I forgot. So they go to the inn and say, hey, where can we go? And you got to remember, Jerusalem, the town where they all had to be in Bethlehem, the house of bread, Bethlehem, as they're going there, it's this little village, but it's filled with all these people. And it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He says, well, I got this cave over on the side, you know, where we store the animals. You're welcome to kind of hole up there for the night. And of course, we know the story. Mary's water breaks. She has Jesus in the stable, in the cave. If you would. Jesus was born. He was placed in a feeding trough, right? Who really knew? Nobody. Nobody. Except an angel woke up some shepherds to share this good news. Some wise men, they were intrigued by this star that they believed, and they were going to take this journey, embark on a journey, and they were going to come and see Jesus when he was a young boy. But apart from that and the unlikely guest of the manger, no one really seemed to notice Christmas number one. The innkeeper, all of the people that were there gathered for the census, all the people that were maybe having family reunions, the people that certainly made hotel reservations. That first Christmas might have been very easy to miss. But the subsequent ones in our lifetime, they're practically impossible to overlook. Even people that don't celebrate Christmas know that Christmas is coming. But Jesus said this in Revelation 22. He says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Yes, I am coming soon. So here's a question I want to pose to you today. Have we done more to prepare for this Christmas, the birth of a baby that we know took place over 2,000 years ago with all of the presents and all of the songs and all of the emotions? Have we done more to prepare for that than we are prepared for his second coming? And the stakes, think about it, the stakes are much higher for his coming back the second time. I mean, there's nothing intimidating about the birth of a young baby. In fact, most people missed it, except for some smelly old stinky shepherds up in the hills. They got it. The angels got it. All heaven's rejoicing. God, Emmanuel, with us, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, God himself is with us. But most people missed it. But Jesus came, showed us God, showed us his very character, and he said, "Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age." And he sits at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on our behalf for those of us that are called and those of us that are with him. And there are many different nuances, I think, that we need to think about as we prepare for his coming. Not his first coming. We're well prepared for that. We've got our little manger scenes. We've got all of the stuff. In fact, a lot of us now, you know, we're already talking about putting Christmas back in its box. You know, Jesus came. We were preparing for his birth. He's born. Now we can go back to things as usual. But can we? Jesus says, "I am coming soon." And so I want to give you some basic things to keep in mind for the person who wants to be fully prepared for his return, his second coming, I think the most important coming. His incarnation, his birth is important. His death and resurrection was even more important because that gives us new life and gives us now the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God, to become part of the family. But we need to be prepared for that second coming and make sure we don't miss it. So the first thing, we need to be alert and we need to be watchful. We need to know that it's coming. Sometimes at Christmas, we're alert for sales, right? You know, we want to get the sales. We receive wish lists. I mean, I got a FaceTime from my grandson today. "Papa, you'll never guess what I got for Christmas." I said, "Probably a motorcycle." He goes, "I got a dirt bike." He's 10 years old. "What's your wish list?" But we're prepared for Christmas and our gifts. But here's what Jesus says in Matthew. "Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." Jesus says, don't just be ready for the sales on my birth, but be ready for my second coming. I mean, Christmas is December 25th every year. So we're ready for that. It's easy to keep track of, but we don't know when he's coming back. And that's the scary thing because we have to be alert and ready for when he comes back. And that leads me to the second item to keep in mind. If we're going to be fully prepared for Jesus' return, we should be motivated to live godly lives now. The Apostle Peter makes it very clear in 2 Peter. He says this, "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." At Christmas, what do we tell our kids when they're little? You better be good or you get on the naughty list, right? In fact, young parents today, They don't even know about the naughty and nice list. They have an elf on the shelf. And that elf on the shelf just kind of looks over everybody, and he knows if you've been bad or good. So you better be good for goodness sake. But being good or bad at Christmas and getting coal in your stocking or getting a dirt bike pales in comparison to knowing if we are going to heaven or hell. If you really think about it, going and spending eternity in heaven or in hell, there is more on the line than that, than a gift that we open and we're bored with in a couple of months. The prospect of Jesus coming back has a lot more on the line than the candy and the family parties. So we ought to live these holy and godly lives that Christ told us and showed us. He says, don't get attached to this world. He said, you're just visitors passing through. You are no longer of this world. We are in a different kingdom. We're a different family now. Peter refers to us, here's what he says, that we are strangers and aliens in a different land. People whose citizenship is no longer here on this plane, but is in heaven with God. And that means if things that we are practicing now are things that we wouldn't if we were sure that Jesus was coming back tomorrow on December 26, then we need to change them today and stop doing those things. How would you want Jesus to find you on the day that he returns? Would you like to be less tied to materialism, deeper tied to him through prayer? Then start now. Would you like to put an end to that secret little habit maybe that's going on in your life? Whatever that is for you, that start living that way now. Think about the things and say, you know, I want to live the life that Christ expects me to live. Third, if we're prepared and want to be prepared for Jesus to come, we should encourage each other. What I love about this time of year, people are walking around saying, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, season greetings. I hope there's joy. Be joyful. Have peace, love. And this is a time of year where we're sharing it with people, even strangers. You know, we'll walk around and we'll see somebody on the street. We'll nod and say, Merry Christmas. And what do they say back? Merry Christmas. And this is the time of year where we do that. Well, you know what? What if we did that every day as Christ followers and said, you know what? Hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. How can I serve you? Can you imagine how our world would be? I think the prophet John Lennon said, all you need is love. We don't know what love is. I mean, Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it, right? We don't even know what love is because we look at it through our vision. Love is to, you know, whatever I love. We say, you know, like for me, I love Nutter Butters. But that pales in the fact that Christ loves me. But can you imagine if we lived in a world where we just celebrated each other and encouraged each other? Hebrews says this, let us encourage one another and all the more as we see the day. In Thessalonians it says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, it says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. One day, we're going to be in his presence. One day, we're going to be sitting with Christ. One day, we're not going to hurt anymore. Our joints are going to be fine. I don't know what we're going to look like in heaven, but I know it's going to be great. And so how about encouraging each other? Seek one another out. Pat one another on the back. Remind each other that Jesus is coming. Hang in there. I know you're going through a hard time. I know you're struggling. I know life isn't easy for you right now. I know that you're hurting. I know all of these things, but hang in there. Because he's coming back. He promised he would. We should feel free to express our hope in the return of Christ, and to, not just to other Christians, but to a world that desperately needs Jesus. Encourage each other. And lastly, if we're going to be ready for Jesus to return, then we should persevere. In some ways, this has been a tough Christmas. We've had some crazy weather. people were sharing with me last night during the service said, oh, they had a pipe burst. Just crazy times. We've had unusual preparations. This was, like I said, the first year that our son is not with us at Christmas. And, of course, my other son lives in California, and my daughter lives in Monroe, and they're all, we'll get to see them tonight. And then she and her husband are going to leave their kids with us. There are several times, I've got to be honest with you, that I came home to Margie and I was exhausted. You know, I have to plan this service, and we lost our worship leader. So now I've taken on the role of worship leader and pastor. And then Sandra goes, you know, Paul, I'm resigning as associate pastor. Nothing's going to change. And I would go home, and Margie said, why don't you just sit down? And I would sit down, and my feet hurt, my knees hurt, and I wish I could be like Melvin. I mean, Melvin's like 100 years old, but yet limber is whatever you got, I need. But this is what Paul told Timothy about that Christian life. He says, listen to this, fight the good fight of the faith. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize he's coming back? And I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Persevere. Don't give up. You're going to be tempted to think sometimes, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm done. You'll be tempted to think, Jesus isn't coming back. You know, I haven't heard from him. Sometimes I feel like my prayers just kind of stop at the ceiling. You're going to be tempted to turn away. You're going to be tempted to take your eyes off of the prize that Paul talked about. You're going to be tempted to make a compromise here or there because it's been a long time already and Jesus hasn't come. But I'm going to say, don't give in to those temptations. Live the life that Christ showed us. And what would be the best strategy to have this lifelong perseverance? What do you think the answer is? It's real simple. Remember that he's coming soon. These are the basics, I think, to be prepared for the return of Jesus. It's never too early to start getting ready. Even if we're not fully prepared, Christmas happens every day in our hearts when we remember that Jesus is born in us. And this is what he says in Revelation 22, verse 20. He says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. And then it ends with this, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray.